We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, good morning, everyone. Another episode of Outside Shots. EJ, you gotta wave again because they didn't see you because you woke. There you go. Hey, that's EJ, jump shot 8.
That's the nicest I'll ever see to any of you, boy, couch potatoes.
Saul, we appreciate you joining us. As always, Outside Shots is brought to you by the good folks at OG's, the best edibles in the game. You can check them out at OG'sBrands.com to get yours today. EJ, how you doing today, man?
I'm good. I'm sending out a tweet. I'm reposting your tweet because we got the great Bill Simmons coming in this morning, and so I want to make sure all my followers get my info. I'm not as technologically savvy as you are, and so I'm trying to go as slow as I can.
You take your time.
Yeah,
we're in absolutely no rush right now.
Really?
We're not, you know, and neither are the Suns when it comes to playing good basketball. Listen, EJ, I don't know if I represent a lot of the fan base. I think I represent a portion of them when it comes to just being frustrated with this team and their performances or lack thereof of late, especially defensively. I feel like they have not been able to put it together and find themselves on the defensive end, especially when you look at the Celtics and the Bucks games. And even at last night in certain stretches, I thought they were a little bit more locked in defensively last night. But again, I'm not trying to let them off the hook or try to dog them out, but it was the 76ers team missing a lot of key pieces. You know, Maxey had been on a roll. Beal did a great job on him last night, I thought. But overall, I just what is your temperature on this team?
Rhythm is still not there for 48 minutes. We see greatness at periods, right? We see runs that are devastating. You know, you got Grayson out there doing what he's doing. And the reason he's getting those great looks is because of those three. So we see it. We see the rebounding early on in the game. Everybody's going to struggle shooting the ball at periods of the game. But what are you going to do to make up for it? Well, they had like 12 offensive rebounds in the first quarter, I think. I mean, like, so we know it's there. We just can't get it to just go for 48 minutes. And so last night, I thought they did great in the second half. You know, came out, put their foot on them. Okay, back to back. Guys are going to be able to rest. Then fourth quarter happened again. Where this inconsistency, turning it over. And all of a sudden, you know, I don't know if it ever was a game, because I think when they didn't turn it over, they were scoring. Mm-hmm. But what it did, it kept the starters out there on the court. And it didn't allow the bench guys to get in and close it out. Those guys could get a little bit more extra rest. Atlanta sitting in their hotel watching. Mm-hmm. So I was disappointed in that. So it's just still work in progress, man. It hasn't been fun, I'm sure, for most Suns fans. But maybe we're being punished for the big reward at the end.
I hope so, man. Huh?
Maybe
I hope
that's so, it. Man. That's how I look at it.
So you're trying to say that, like, you think the Suns are hopefully Shawshanking us right now? They're crawling through 500 yards of crap just to get to the other end and come out clean on the other side. You think that's what's happening?
Well, I think when the playoffs come, it's automatic. It always happens. You automatically understand every possession is extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
Every possession in the playoffs is important. And I think that's when all of a sudden you start not to make the kind of passes and the kind of decisions when you pass in the playoffs. That's been our biggest problem this year, man. It's just very loose with the basketball.
Yeah, 23 turnovers again last night.
And it's just like we cannot stay away from that. And just trying to make, you know what it is, though? It's like, you know, I thought I was a good passer. I wasn't a facilitator. I wasn't creating for my teammates. Mm-hmm. But I was a good passer.
You're fundamentally sound.
Yeah, I knew exactly, and that's why I was used in a lot of ways, taking the ball out of bounds. Every team I played for, I took the ball out of bounds, no matter how tight the situation was, because I knew everybody's play. Guys would come to me and say, "Where am I supposed to be?" And I would tell them. I knew every position. Mm-hmm. And it's probably because I played, like a lot of times in my career, three positions. I played small forward, I played two guard, and I played sometimes at power forward. So I had to learn all the positions. And so when we did a play, I was cognizant of what I was supposed to do.
Sure.
And I think that's part of it too. The continuity of our team has not been there all year. And so sometimes we forget what that next guy is supposed to do. And we think about what we're going to do. And the guy's probably maybe supposed to pop out, and you're thinking, you know, man, he should go back door, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like having that understanding of the play, and then, you know, you won't probably make some of those mistakes and expect the ball. I think a lot sometimes we're not even expecting the pass.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's because you feel like it wasn't your play or it wasn't your position, so you're not cognizant of trying to look. It's all those things, man, that we've missed out on. Lack of practice because of injury. And I get on it all the time. Shortened training camps, which is a joke to me. I think the league needs, the Players Association, they need to just man up and just go through the month of practices and allow two-a-days and all that stuff to get themselves right, man. Because I just think when you're injured early and there's no continuity, it takes a while to get it together during the course of a season because you can't practice. The Suns probably have not had a good practice, maybe one or two or three practices since the turn of the year.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't practice much. Yeah. So I think that's a problem as well.
We got some super chats that we're going to hit. We appreciate you all joining us as well. Please hit that like button. It helps us out, and we appreciate it very much. Psycho Blue with a $10 super chat. Basketball Cthulhu thinks the time for the marathon is coming to an end, and it's time to, as mortals would say, haul butt to the finish line. Yes, that is very true. Yeah. You got to put something together. Cedric Phillips with a $2 super chat. Bull sparked off the offense. Great 3-point shooter. What is your take on Bull right now? Because I don't understand how he'll come in. It's happened a couple times in the last four games where he will come in the second quarter, play really well, and we don't see him again until the fourth. I don't understand it. And I feel like there's been certain situations where he would have been able to help out in certain respects, but he's not seeing the court nearly as much as I thought he would, especially after proving himself in key stretches in the first half.
Frank Vogel is a defensive-minded coach. I've played for them. And those were the toughest coaches for me because – you know, they always leaning toward defense. And they don't, you know, they forget about what you do offensively. And for me, as my career went along, I was that guy, right? I was that guy that can flat out get you 20 plus off the bench in limited minutes. And that was how I played the game. You know, that was my impact. That was my job description, all of that. And sometimes coaches would say, you know, well, they running me. I said, hold up, man. Hold up for a second. All right. Now, the guy that I'm guarding, how many he got? Mm-hmm. Like, I understand team defense and all that. I'm taking care of that part of it. How many does he have? Oh, you know, he got 10. Okay. I got freaking 18. I got 18.
Yeah.
So you put a guy in for defensive purposes, and he's guarding that guy, and that guy says he has 8. But the guy you put in for defense, he ain't got but 4.
Yeah.
How does that work, man? Like, I would always argue that point to defensive-minded coaches. Like, I get what you're saying. Late game situations, flow of the game, I get it. But I'm always going to protect the offensive player, man, because they get a bad rep if they're not quote-unquote the star. The star can get away with it. You got to always leave the star out there, no matter of his deficiencies. Mm-hmm. But the role guy has to really always fight. And so I'm always going to fight for the role guy. You know, I love Frank Vogel. It's not me and a Frank Vogel problem.
Sure, sure.
It's an argument with Frank. Yeah. Like, you know, and if he was sitting here, he would be fine to try to answer and we go back and forth with each other. We've done that. But I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
I just don't. And I can't be a hypocrite and say I agree with what he says because I went through it and it bothered the heck out of me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, everything you said is on point. And I don't think Bol Bol's defense is so egregious in terms of being negative that it doesn't warrant more playing time. Like, I just feel like he's been solid, you know, on both sides of the ball. He hasn't been awful on defense.
Watch him. He's so fundamentally sound. Just watch him. Offensively with the ball, I trust him with the ball in his hands right now just as much as anybody. Because he makes the right pass. He's not like when he has to pick up his dribble, he at 7'4", 7'5", whatever he is, he jumps and makes a pass if he thinks the guy can deflect it.
Mm-hmm.
Just watch him. He gets a rebound, he keeps it up here. He gets an offensive rebound, he keeps it up here. What does Nurk do? Nurk brings it down here. What does Drew do? Brings it down here. When Bol gets it, he keeps it here.
Yes.
He is so fundamentally sound that when he is on the court, yeah, he might make some mistakes defensively or whatever because he's guarding smaller guys. But with the ball in his hands, he makes the right passes. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm like, I've watched it all year and I see like how the skill set that he has, like, it could be a bounce pass, a great pass to the post. He doesn't take bad shots. Like, to me, he's a coach's dream to have out there because he knows that he's not going to step out of his box.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't try to overcreate. None of that. He's open. He shoots it. He catches the ball 10 feet in, can't make a pass, shot clock going down, he gets aggressive. Instead of, like, shot clock going down and he makes a move and passes it, and now the next guy doesn't have any situation to shoot it, shot clock expires.
Yeah.
I encourage Suns fans, watch him. He is so fundamentally sound. It's ridiculous. And I say it during the telecast, man. And so I'm a fan of Bol Bol. I want him to play more, man. And the coaching staff knows it. I mean, they listen to me on games. I want the guy to play more because I think he will win us a playoff game. That's all I'm thinking about right now. It's the guys that can win you a playoff game. Those are the guys that you play because you never know. You don't want to miss out on that opportunity to have a role player win. How do I know? I want a ton of playoff games as a guy coming off the bench. I know it. And that's when you have to understand. And right now, O'Neal, Bol Bol, Eric Gordon, those are top three. If one of those guys is going to win a playoff game for us this year. And you cannot deviate away from them.
I love that. I love that. Josh earlier in the chat said, if we're spending this much time on Bol Bol, doesn't that answer the question about the Suns' ceiling? We're talking about Bol Bol. Josh, listen, I know what you think you've seen or you've heard, but I promise you, you are wrong about this. Bol Bol has, at first, was a novelty coming in onto this team. Now has been a bona fide addition to this team, and he should be playing a lot more than he is. And he's a very good basketball player, and I think he's surprised a lot of people, especially here in Phoenix, with what he would bring to the table. Because when he got here, it was a novelty. Everybody was like, it was like the Bol Bol experience. You didn't know what you're going to get. When he was in Denver, when he was in Orlando, he had these habits of doing things that were kind of like, you know, spectacularly awesome and spectacularly bad all at the same time, right? He gets here and he cleans almost all of it up. I haven't seen him do one thing out of pocket all season. And the only time I saw him do something that was a little bit flashy was when he threw the behind the back pass out to the wing on the at the 3-point line last week. Like, that thing, that's fine. He connected on that.
He executed it.
He's been
and
fantastic.
It was the right play
season.
To make.
It was absolutely
and
fine.
And Josh, I hope you don't have a company. I don't. I hope that you don't own a company. I actually hope that you just work for somebody. Because if you had a company, I'd be really worried if I was an employee of yours. I am dead serious. Because basically, you don't care too much about the people that really you don't know that's visible and don't think that they're making your company go. All right? Basketball is 15 players on a team. Everybody in the NBA can play. All right? It's just because they're on the bench doesn't mean they can't play. Just because they're not getting minutes doesn't mean they can't play. And so if you own a company and you're driving to work in your Mercedes and you're leaving from Paradise Valley, it doesn't mean that one of your employees not as smart as your ass.
Woo.
How about that? You just got in position to own the company.
I know you don't know this, Eddie, but Josh is actually my former boss and also Jacob's former boss.
Former. What'd that tell you, Josh?
Oh, man. And with that, we will bring in the one, the only founder of The Ringer, Bill Simmons, joins the pod. Bill, how are you doing today?
What's happening, guys? Hold on. I'll put my headphones on.
Oh, you're all good. Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, I know you're a busy guy. EJ has been clamoring to get you on the show, and we are very excited for this. First, listen, you know, obviously you've spoken about the Suns in the past. You have a lot of fans here in Phoenix that disagree with some of your
teams. They get mad at me sometimes.
Hold up. They don't like them. That's what it is. That's fine.
I'm sorry. This is what happens in every NBA city. If somebody from the outside doesn't just praise the team and talk about how great they are, then they become an enemy and everybody hates them. There's no way to win. The only way I'd win is if I said how good the Suns were and Booker's great and KD's great, you guys are going to win the finals. Then Phoenix would be like, oh, man, I love that guy.
Very true. Very true. Well, listen, let's just get straight to the point. You know, obviously, we have our perspective here in Phoenix. Watching this team from afar. What is your take so far on, you know, about 65 games of the season for the Suns? How do you feel? Do you feel like they're legit? Do you feel like they probably don't have enough? What's your take on them?
So I thought a week ago they were on my radar as a possible sleeper, because I think the only way to beat Denver is just to have more offense than them, as dumb as that sounds. Like, you're not going to stop them on the other end the last 5-6 minutes of a game. You're going to have to outscore them. And I thought Phoenix, maybe Dallas, were the two teams that had a chance to do that. And then you watch what happened in Phoenix last week, where they just got demolished. And it just seems like the three guys together have not been as good as I thought they were going to be. Now, they've only had, I think, less than 30 games playing together.
Yeah.
They haven't been as dominant as I think any of us were expecting. And then, you know, the fact that Grayson Allen's been so good, get that trade and you think, like, Grayson Allen's like a throw-in. The Bucks didn't even want him anymore. And you get best possible Grayson Allen season. So if you'd said before the season started, oh my God, guess what? Grayson Allen is going to turn into, you know, freaking Klay Thompson in 2016. You're going to have that plus the three guys, and maybe Nurkic can do the 8 minutes. You'd have been like, whoa, the Phoenix is going to be awesome. They're going to have like 60 wins. And it just hasn't been the case. I think what worries me with them against smart teams is I just think they have the smarter teams are going to have places to go to really exploit them on defense. You know, Nurkic, I think with Nurkic, like he's one of those guys, if you're playing Charlotte, he'll have the 22 rebound game. But when you see him against like the big, big, good, good teams, they'll just hunt him. They'll go after him. They're putting him in pick and rolls. They're, you know, the Celtics guarded him with Drew Holiday. They're like, you're not going to hurt us. So they have that piece. And then Grayson Allen is somebody the Celtics exploited 2 years ago on defense. So there's some spots. What really worries me, and this is more as a KD fan, is just I think KD's had a really good season. And I think he's had a really, really good two-way season. Like I think this is among the best he's been defensively ever. And I don't know why they're not better. And Eddie is hashtag we good at all times, although last week was suspiciously silent. But I keep waiting for them to have like the 3 week stretch where like, oh, here are the Suns, here they are, and it just hasn't happened, and now we're at March Madness.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to actually just text me after, you know, what the Celtics did to us, and you didn't. So you actually felt sorry for me, and that's unusual for you, but you did. Yeah. You felt sorry for me, and you didn't say anything.
I don't celebrate in March. That's the one thing I've learned as a basketball fan. February and March is like the fool's gold months of the season. You know, we're all learning now that the regular season is so much different than the playoffs. So no. to say on March 10th, like, oh my God, we're locked. Like you just can't. You can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. And we both agree with you on the Sun situation. Obviously the marathon, and you know this. The marathon is just so difficult to navigate. And we've seen it throughout the league now, right? We're seeing it with Minnesota with their injuries. We're seeing it with Philly with what they're dealing with. And so, but come playoff time, when everything settles, my whole philosophy on the Suns is if they don't turn it over, they got a chance to win.
Yeah.
And I know they made a stretch here. They went, and the guy that you're familiar with, they went and they picked up Isaiah Thomas. And a lot of people might look at that as a feel-good story and all of that. But what I see it helping the Suns, if this can work and stick, is now they have a guy that can at least get the ball up the court and take the pressure off of those big three and trying to bring the ball up the court. And I think defensively it helps them a little bit more because they're not exerting so much energy.
Isaiah Thomas, who – hasn't been in the NBA for 6 years?
Well, I said dribble the ball up, Bill. Bill, I didn't say dribble the ball up and be Tiny Archibald back in his young days. I'm saying if you look at the Suns, and you do, a lot of their turnovers are happening actually when outside of like 60 feet. They're dribbling the ball up. Like, right. And I think that has been their issue. Like, my point is get the ball across the court as quickly as you can. And now you got 17 seconds to run your offense.
Yeah, Eddie, this is why we were arguing last summer, because the Suns were throwing away basic things that work for NBA contenders. Like they were like, well, bench, we'll just get some guys. Point guard, who cares? We got Booker and Durant. And it's like, I don't know, we have 8 decades of evidence what works and doesn't work. I feel the same about New Orleans. New Orleans is playing really well, right? And they've been healthy for a little bit. Now they have a chance to get a 4 seed. Mm-hmm. It's like point Zion. And when they have their basically their 5 long guys, which they did against the Clippers in crunch time on Sunday, you're like, all right, this is something. This is interesting. But I just think when we get to a playoffs, what's going to happen? They're going to guard Zion 94 feet. And you're like, oh, you're going to play point guard? We're gonna guard you the whole time. And the same thing we've seen happen with the Suns. They're putting all these miles on Booker and Durant in the 25 feet of the court that don't matter.
Right.
So – you know, to me, point guard is like the easiest position to find people. And I don't understand, Eddie, you know more about this than I do about what they tried to do at the trade deadline, but I kept hearing they were really trying to get Miles Bridges. Yeah. And they were looking at people like that. How do we get more swings? And I just feel like there were good point guards that could have potentially help them at least a little bit. I haven't really loved the Booker season, like for how they've used him versus how talented he is.
Yeah. Well, I would totally agree with that. I don't think they have used Booker quite the way that he would be the most efficient Booker possible. You know, he tried to find, you know, that perfect balance between scoring and facilitating earlier on in the season. And now he's kind of morphed into this role where he's going to try and get going in the first quarter. And then hope that sets the tone for the rest of the team moving forward.
Yeah. Sometimes it's it's like mid-March now. You're still experimenting with, like, you're one of the 12 best guys in the league. Like, that makes me nervous.
For sure, for sure. Yeah. Well, outside of that, you know, you brought up Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant has, as you said, has had a phenomenal season. And I would agree with you in terms of the two-way aspect. His defense has been superb. And especially once he kind of transitioned midway through the season from playing a little bit more of a team centered, you know, help defense and one on one to more isolated on certain players that they've identified that he would like to shut down or they would like him to shut down. Overall, like Kevin Durant, you know, I know there's been this talk about, is he appreciated enough? I think here in the Valley, we appreciate him. There would be some people that say we don't, but I've loved Kevin Durant. What has been your take?
Have parties for him? You have to like bring him cakes?
I'll tell you what. Appreciation. Bill, I swear, like he could have an 8-for-20 night and have like, you know, 25 points and there will still be people in our chat every night that say, oh, he should have had 30 shots. Yeah. Oh, you guys aren't giving him the ball enough. Look at it. He's isolated in the corner. You guys are just freezing him out. It's like, man, geez, you can't beat the KD stance. So it is what it is.
This is the curse of KD. And it goes from the 2016 playoffs, where if you do like the sliding doors of how his career goes, they're up 3-1 against Golden State, right? They just win that series. I don't know if they beat Cleveland or not, but I don't think he leaves OKC if they lose in the finals. And then from that point on, like, he couldn't win with anybody. I'm a big KD guy. I'm not going to apologize for it. I think, you know, the way we talk about the superstars, some guys get a huge cushion and a huge pass with certain things, and other guys don't get any cushion and any pass. And look, KD's shot himself in the foot 1,700 ways. The Brooklyn thing was super weird. I still don't really understand it. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why he hitched his wagon with Kyrie. I don't understand why he didn't understand that Brooklyn doesn't matter as a basketball city. And you know, that it, I just thought the decision was strange not to stay at Golden State for at least another year. But these guys are, you know, these are young guys making life decisions, and sometimes they're not great. It just seems like he's constantly chasing some sort of approval as an all-time great player. And that seems to be shaping the career decisions he makes now. And he goes to Phoenix, I think, because he thinks, well, if I go there with Booker and we potentially can win a title, then people will appreciate me. He never got over not being properly appreciated in 17 and 18. You know, when he went head-to-head against LeBron and was just as good as him and arguably even a smidge better, especially in 2017. But you know, I think he feels like he's as good as he, at least for the last 12 years, I think he feels like he's as good as LeBron was.
And yeah, he does. And
not only do people not think that, they get mad when people would even bring that up. The stats are, I think, closer than maybe people realize. But yeah, Eddie, I know you got to spend time with him over the last couple of years. He's a really thoughtful, he's a cool dude. He really just cares about basketball and hooping, and it seems like the life stuff keeps getting in the way.
Yeah, I think it throws people off with KD in that he's so serious about basketball, and he really doesn't care about too much else. And you get that from him on Twitter and his responses to people. And, you know, people question his leadership, but you lead in different ways. Some people, I know every team that I played on, I wasn't the best player on the team, but I was probably pretty much the leader. You know, I thought I was a leader in the locker room in Houston at the end of my career with Charles, Dream, and Clyde, because they were so focused on doing great things. The other guys step up. And so I hate when people think the best player or one of the best players have to be the leader. That's just not the case. But Bill, here's my question. Like, you got to be excited, obviously, you know, for your company and all the things that you're going to cover here coming up, because I think, and we say this every year, but I think this year's playoffs especially in the West, is going to be ridiculous. Yeah. I think, and we're seeing it now. And the beautiful part about the play-in, and people push back on that, and even players, but what players and fans got to understand, man, this makes the NBA relevant here as we finish the season. The Suns right now, They got four games here. They had the win last night against Philly. They got Atlanta tonight, and they got a back-to-back against San Antonio. After that, every game that they play the rest of the year is against a playoff team. Like, and teams that are trying to jockey for position. So now, to us, the playoffs start now, not right. in a couple of weeks. And that's what's going to make it great.
I'm gonna follow up on that in 1 second. You said that thing about KD being the leader. It's interesting the perception of that depending on the player, right? Because I think people would say LeBron's a great leader. Every year, everybody on LeBron's team is in trade rumors. And it's for 2 months leading up to the trade deadline, and he'll do the tweet every once in a while, and people are like, great leader. KD doesn't do any of that stuff. And when KD's unhappy, he's just like, get me out of here. The point is, like, we look at this stuff depending on how we feel about the player, not what the actual results are. And, you know, KD's not – I wouldn't say KD is Mel Gibson and Braveheart, but I ultimately, like, from a leader standpoint, you want somebody that's just going to play hard every night and put the work in and work with his teammates, which right. I think he does. Anyway, Eddie, so I agree with you on the one hand. And by the way, it's nice to see you so happy, not next to Justin. Your body language is different. Your posture is different. You're so relaxed.
Just reserved. It's not because of him.
Oh, come on, man.
It's really not just not having Justin. It's like not having a kidney stone or something. But, so the playoffs are fun because on the one hand, it's amazing because we have your situation where we're going to have the Lakers or the Warriors of the 9-10 game, which is nuts. One of those teams isn't even going to make it to the second playing game. On the other hand, I just feel like there's an inevitability with Boston and Denver that if it doesn't happen, I feel like something horribly wrong would have happened to one of the two teams, either one of the big choke jobs we've seen in the last 10 years or an injury.
Right.
Because this, to me, just feels like 2017, where it's like, all right, we're getting Cleveland and Golden State. And you just have these two teams coming toward each other, and it doesn't really matter who's in the way. Boston's just killing teams. Boston's gotten better really like every month. You know, they're at the way Mazzulla, and I wasn't a Mazzulla guy, but the way he's used the bench and rested guys and kept people like Pritchard and Cornette in the mix in a real way, where Pritchard last night was one of the best players in that game. It was an ESPN game. I just think he's done a good job. Everybody's healthy. Everybody's rested. They have like a 10-game lead in the East. There's really nobody in the East that is going to be scary to them. And then I just don't think anybody – I think Denver is the best team in 7 years. So to beat them, you need to basically do what Phoenix did in Game 3, Game 4 last year, but you need to do it four times.
Yeah,
I don't see any other way. So on the one hand, this is going to be so much fun watching these bloodbath – you know, who are playing games and the 3-6. And if you're Minnesota, all of a sudden you get the 3 seed, you have Dallas in round one, you got to deal with Luka and all the stuff that I think is going to be fun for us as basketball fans. But ultimately, like Denver and Boston, if you go on like the sports books, it's like plus 350 to be the finals, which are crazy odds. So, you know, I'm with you, Eddie. I think it's going to be an awesome playoffs, but I also think we kind of know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I think the playoffs are going to be fantastic, obviously. The East is, you know, I do feel like it's kind of a runaway with the Celtics. The West, I don't know. I know you're high on the Nuggets. I just have this feeling that somebody's going to surprise the Nuggets. I don't know if it'll be a team like Phoenix, but I'm a big OKC guy. I really like what they've been doing this year. Shea's been awesome. The only deficiency they have is at the position Jokic plays and not really having much of a front court. Yeah, and an experience.
Wow. Also, experience can also look at their games. Look at their game. Like, they're the healthiest team, like, in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Every single guy on that team has played 60-plus games. I think Shea's missed one. I think Chet's missed two. If you had said before the year, is Chet going to miss two games by mid-March, you would have been like, what? That guy's 100 pounds. I just feel like OKC's been incredibly healthy, and we've seen this happen before where the regular season record sometimes is tied to team health by like 5-6 wins. Minnesota is the most fascinating team to me because, especially if they're going to do the prison ball rules that they've been using since the All-Star break, which I love. I mean, it's the best. If we're going prison ball in the April, May, June, that's great for Minnesota.
Yeah.
You know, they got size, they have wings that can really physically defend. And you even think about like a Phoenix, Minnesota, they're going to be hitting KD with like a 2x4 in that series.
It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better.
And that's how to beat, you guys have seen it for the last couple of years. The way to really get to KD and mess him up is just, you just got to be physical. You just got to have your hands on him. It's what Tatum did to him in the Brooklyn series 2 years ago. You just got to make him uncomfortable the whole time, you know? And I think Phoenix is a team that the new rules are not good for as we get to the playoffs. Right.
Play them off the ball. Like, and even if you watch the Suns the last few games, they're running KD off a lot of screens now. They're doing some different things because that's what he has to do. So they can't target him. But you're exactly right, man. It's going to get more physical than it is right now. And you know what? Officials, they really are more comfortable officiating this way because they're really they had a tough time with the little tic-tac stuff. Now they don't have to worry about it anymore. Right. And I think that's why the games are flowing like it is.
They've done
a good job. Russillo had a point on Sunday that I thought was really interesting. On my podcast that I do them on Sundays, he was saying these games have a different flow now because there's less foul shots, less fouls, less stoppages, maybe even a couple less challenges. And the games are shorter and there's been some good data on this so far. So now with the way how fast and hard these guys are playing, but you're not getting the extra 10 minutes of like kind of standing around for free throws, catching your breath and all that. What's that going to look like in a playoff series? It's, you know, when you think like Eddie's time, like nobody moved. Eddie and I always argue about this. I mean, you just go watch the YouTube. Eddie is probably running, I don't know, a mile and a half a game. Maybe like
you really 40, believe that.
40 sprints.
You really believe that.
Like the way LeBron plays defense on the Lakers when he's just standing in the same spot for 12 seconds. That was everyone in the 80s. Come on, Eddie.
Do you really honestly believe that?
YouTube doesn't lie.
How old were you when I played?
Old enough.
How old were you when I played? How
everyone's
old are you, Bill?
Backing in. Everyone's just 15
Bill,
feet.
Bill, how old are you? What are you, 38?
I was in high school when you played.
Huh?
No, I'm old. I'm in my 50s now. I'm old.
Okay, so if you were in your 50s, you were in middle school.
I love the 80s, but the guys are running way more now.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come to California, okay? Because I come to California every year.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bring, I got you, I don't know if you understand this, I have 85% of my tapes.
Oh my gosh.
Not the Sacramento game.
I was one of the guys that people used to laugh at me all the time. I would get a game tape after every game, and I just kept them. They're in storage, and I'll bring them out every now and then. VHS. So I got a couple of VHS machines because you got to make sure you got to keep two or three of them because you don't make them anymore.
Jesus.
And I'll show you. Bill, we played 94 feet. You remember Cotton Fitzsimmons?
Yeah.
We could not initiate a play unless we ran the full court, crossed underneath, and came out and ran the play. I'm going to have to educate you.
Oh, my goodness.
Ran or jogged?
I meant sprinted. Sprinted. Michael Brooks, I don't know if you remember this guy. He played in the South.
Yeah.
This dude sprinted every time he ran the court for nothing. And I asked him one time, I said, Mike, why do you sprint and you're not going to get the ball? He said, because I know if I sprint, you still got to chase me. And then in the fourth quarter, you're going to be so tired, I'm going to get layups.
Right. So well, that's the playoffs this year. I think the teams with depth, it's going to be a bigger advantage than maybe people realize. Not in the first round because they spread the first round out, but when we start getting to the every other day stuff, like if Phoenix thinks they're going to put 42 minutes a night on Durant playing every other night in round two, that would make me nervous, right?
Yeah.
That's
sure.
Where Beal comes in, right? I mean, that's been the case, and even Grayson now. You know, they don't need their scoring to the highest level as we thought they did.
Yeah.
Can I give you some advice for both of you with Beal?
Sure. Go ahead.
Just don't, if he's healthy for three games in a row, just don't trust it. Just keep your guard up.
Well, it's been three games.
Somebody starts dating somebody, and you're like, oh, man, are you really going to? You're going to like fall in love with her, really? Keep your guard up. You're like, no, she's different now. Beal is one of the least durable NBA players we've had in the last, I don't know, 15 years for good players.
Oh, brother.
And the court.
You act like we haven't been through that with Chris Paul for the last 3 years.
Well, but Chris Paul is old. That's a different. Bradley Beal is, what is he, 30?
Like this he looks good now, though. I mean, and that's all you can ask for, right? He looks really good right now.
The point being, both of them are unavailable.
Right, true. Yeah. Yeah, the Chris thing, I don't know. Like if you had to do it over again, would you rather have Chris and a little more salary cap space or Bradley?
If I had to do it all over again, I'd still do the trade because I do think Beal gives you a higher ceiling because of his ability to score at various levels. And if he gets hot, he can be unguardable, you know, and that's the thing with KD and Book having that third outlet to be able to rely on to score. I thought that's what really hurt him against the Nuggets last year is, you know, Chris, you know, he was okay. And then he got hurt. And then you saw Booker and KD, especially Booker, had to play out of his mind and have like one of the best efficiency scoring rounds ever just for them to win two games against the Nuggets. So I just think having that third body to be able to score is vital right now.
Yeah, and they were picking up Chris 94 feet.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was like they were doing to Chris what they're doing to KD and Devin now. So I think, you know, in Golden State, I don't think you can do that as easily against Chris. And because they got four guards out there sometimes. And so,
yeah, he's in a nice spot there.
Yeah, yeah. So with us, I thought, you know, they were really taking a lot of time off the clock with Chris. It's unfortunate because, you know, we know how valuable he is and how well he's playing in Golden State.
The reason I didn't love the Beal trade other than the durability is just like once you do that, that's your team and you have no outs at that point. I never like not having outs with my basketball team. Like at least with Chris, if you kept him, he's an expiring and you can try to figure out, all right, can we do better than this in February? But it's you know, that's a classic new owner move. We've been watching forever when the guy gets this team, he wants to make a bunch of big moves and then have his finished result within, you know, 6 to 9 months. And I don't know if that was the right decision for this team, but, you know, the bigger question for me is Durant and Booker together, can those be the best two guys on a title team? Durant at age 35, Booker at, what's he, 27, 28 at this point is... Mm-hmm. With the way how good the league is now, with how many teams have two good players, can that be enough to actually win four straight playoff rounds? I just think the fact that the league is so good now is the biggest variable for team building because you can feel like, look at the Lakers. They got completely healthy seasons from LeBron and AD, which would have seemed impossible, and they're a 500 team.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, well, if you put that team 7 years ago, that team would have won like 54 games. Yeah. But the league is just way better now.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why that third player is so valuable. But you do make a good point about like just the salary. Now, if they hadn't traded for Beal and they ended up getting rid of Chris Paul, they still wouldn't have had much wiggle room to get other pieces. It just wouldn't have happened salary cap wise. So,
yeah.
So that you were kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. And this was the best option to be able to get something of value to replace.
It's good we have an owner, though, that. You know, the worst part is to have a cheap owner and then he makes that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Right. At least we have an owner that he doesn't even know what the second apron is. Somebody asked what the second apron was. He's like, what is that?
In front of the commissioner.
You just think about that draft where they take Jalen Smith over Haliburton.
Ugh.
And then they give up on Jalen Smith after 2 years. I think about it. Like, he plays for Indiana. He plays real minutes.
Yes, he plays well.
Like six seed. And it's like, how do you just quit on that guy when you had him locked up for 4 years and you get out of it?
I was disappointed. Yeah, I was disappointed in that.
That's another level of cheap, Eddie.
Well, they couldn't get enough of the Torrey Craig experience, so that's why they made that move. Before we let you go, Bill, one more question. You had your top five NBA dunkers, in-game dunkers of all time.
In-game dunkers, huge crucial difference. Yeah,
in-game dunkers. I had to say it. You know where I'm probably going to go with this. I do think it's an egregious miss that you did not put Michael Jordan in that top five. And I heard your reasoning on your podcast, but the Bill Simmons podcast, if you don't follow it, you should. Yeah. It's fantastic. I can go through highlight after highlight after highlight of in-game dunks that Michael Jordan has had that I just feel like are above and beyond just about. I'd say he'd probably be like three for me on your list.
Interesting. Yeah, that was probably the feedback I got was people were surprised by that. I always look at MJ like this, though. To me, he's like the greatest in the air, kind of like layup guy ever. Like the stuff that he used to do just to get shots off, he was never trying to dunk over guys as much as going around them, figuring out like just ways to get the ball in the basket. The whole point of that list was like, and Eddie knows because he played Dominique. Dominique would be up in the air, double clutching so he could give the guy enough time to get underneath him so he could dunk on him. He would be, he would be like seeking out dudes to dunk on. And he would almost like, if he could have, he could have been in the air and he would have grabbed somebody's jersey and put the guy closer to him so the guy could have felt it. And that was the point. Like, there are certain guys who are like, I don't even care about the dunk as much as dunking on somebody. And Jordan to me was always so, you know, he was always in the back of his head. Like, I also don't want to get hurt because everybody was beating the crap out of him. Mm-hmm. And it was the artistry of how he would maneuver around people and still get the shot off. Like, to me, he's the greatest layup guy. Him and Kyrie would probably be one and two for me. Like, yeah. greatest in the middle of bodies layup people I've ever seen.
Yeah.
What do you think of the list, Eddie?
I think Jordan's injury early in his career changed his mindset.
His foot. That's the list right there.
No, I think it really changed his mindset in regards to attacking guys and going after him. And so, you know, look, the national networks, they never really showed the real Michael Jordan. I say that all the time. Once he decided that he wasn't going to dunk anymore, then they started to realize that this dude's, his game was so efficient, his fadeaways, his how he got open, all of those things that young people missed because they were always showing the spectacular with him and not the basic stuff. And at the end of his career, when he was still getting 20-plus and he was basically doing what he's done his whole career, they were like, oh, he's just old, he can't play anymore. I'm like, no, that's the same stuff he was doing. Like, the fadeaways, off the dribble, left, right, all of that. Which are dunkers, I mean, I have no argument with it. You know, they were all spectacular. So to me, it's always going to be an argumentative point with that. The best one for me in just watching was Julius.
Julius. I probably should have put him higher because, especially when he came into the league the first year, he kind of made it his mission to get some trophy heads and just dunking on. I think he dunked on. He had two famous dunks on Walton that year. Part of the list, like, and I watched it because I was going to the Clipper games early in Blake's career. If Blake saw like bodies near the rim and he had a running start, he's like, I'm just going to dunk over literally everybody who's around here. And that's like a different mindset, which is why the Edwards dunk inspired coming up with that list in the first place. Because Edwards has that mentality of like, oh, not only do I have a possible dunk here, but I have a possible body I can take that's near the rim, and I'm going to try to go over that guy and get it. It's weird. Jaylen Brown has been doing it this year. Jaylen Brown, I don't know. I don't know. He changed his coffee or something, but he's been more active.
You ready to forgive him now? Are you ready to forgive him now? I didn't say you didn't love him, but you and my partner, Justin Termini, y'all nitpicked on his inability. His inability to dribble, which he's improved that. He's improved his handle. I think you would agree. But here's the thing that surprised me about Jaylen this year. Yeah. Man, is how big he's gotten. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's gotten bigger, man. And like, his size, like, you don't realize how big he is until you actually see him in person. I mean, this kid is huge, man.
Tatum's a solid 6'9" with huge shoulders. Those guys, like, they last night against Milwaukee, and this is why I think Jaylen has a legitimate case for second or third team All NBA. You know, we got 13 games left, but he guarded Damian Lillard last night. He guarded him the whole game. Mm-hmm. You know, it really took it personally and tried to bother him, but also like was able to score on the other end. Like those guys have bought in. Tatum and Brown have bought into like, oh, tonight the best way for me to affect this game is defense and rebounding. You know, when you get to that level, that's why I believe in this Celtics team, at least to make the finals, is those guys have really bought into what is it going to take for us to win tonight. And that's why when you talk about all NBA is going to be tough because LeBron has great stats, but if it comes down to like LeBron and versus Jaylen for a spot, it's going to be really tough not to put two Celtics on the three all NBA teams.
Yeah, one more question with the Celtics, because I think sometimes people don't see this. It's like you have to respect Tatum and Brown for their professionalism.
Yeah.
Because I had a lot of coaches in my career. I have older coaches and younger coaches. It's hard to really totally 100% respect a young coach. Mm-hmm. Like you try to get away with stuff. Like you try to maybe boss him around. And I don't see that with them. They are self-motivated. Like, past Joe Mazzulla. And I think people need to understand that when they watch these two guys, like, because I watched them and I'm like, man, they putting in extra effort out there. And they really mentally in the back of their mind don't have to, because Joe's not going to do anything to them and they're not intimidated by him. They look at him more as like an equal and a friend, more so than this coach. But yet they go out there with a respect level for the game. And that's why I believe that this could be their year, because these guys are more self-motivated than I've ever seen them, and they have a young coach.
Yeah.
And they traded Marcus, which I think had a lot of benefits, including I think he was the incumbent older guy who I think had a little bit of a hold on the team. And they needed to turn the team over to those two guys. I've never wanted them to break those two guys up. The thing that I like about them, other than durability and how they really do play hard in most of the games, right? And even if it's a game where they're not going 100%, they're not going 20, you know, but they really do give a crap. But I really like how they really genuinely give a crap about each other, you know? And I do feel like they feel like they're in it together. And I think one of the reasons is because they have some scars now.
Yeah.
You know, that the falling behind 0-3 to Miami, coming back and then just getting blown out in a game seven. Then the year before, having a chance, having that Warriors finals, having that, you know, it kind of in their hands. And then Curry cuts their hearts out in game four, and all of a sudden they fall apart. And by the end of the series, you felt like Golden State was going to win every game. But they've had a few of these now. They lost to LeBron in game seven against Cleveland in 2018. They lost in the bubble to Miami in 2020. They've gotten close a few times, and you can kind of go one of two ways when that happens. We've seen the NBA a lot of times, guys get close a few times and they're like, all right, I'm out. What's my next team? I got to go play with this guy instead. You could argue OKC was like that in 2016, like the Klay Thompson game kind of broke them.
Right.
You know, and this Boston team not only did not get broken, but I think it made them stronger. And certainly you make a great point about Jaylen. Like he put the work in over the summer. He got a huge contract. We've seen that go horribly in NBA history. Right. It's like, here's your money. Okay. Oh, whoop. That guy's 15 pounds overweight. He's playing himself into shape. It's been the opposite.
Yeah, he's giving a lot of it away. He's giving a lot of it away, and I think that's a good thing. He said, I got to go make some more.
right, true. Now, he's been an incredible Boston. Both of those guys, they're like incredible guys to root for.
Yeah.
You know, this is like when the Red Sox traded Mookie Betts, which is the worst trade of the last 40 years for me. It wasn't just that they traded this guy who was like this one of a kind, like he's starting at shortstop this year, right? He started at right field, center field, second base, and shortstop. And he's the greatest guy. And he was a great guy in the community on a team that, you know, doesn't have an awesome history, the Red Sox, with black players since, you know, dated back to the 40s. And they traded him. And it wasn't just that they lost the baseball player, they lost the guy. And I think with the Celtics, like Tatum and Brown are like real guys that really matter in the city. Tatum is the most popular guy in the city by far, and Jaylen's not far behind.
Right.
But they recognized that, they understood it. They were never considering trading him. And, you know, when you have a chance to root for guys like that for 20 years, that's that's a whole other level than somebody passed through your life for five, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. Well, Bill, we appreciate your time today.
And
for all you guys out there, if you haven't followed Bill on social, you should, at Bill Simmons. And then also follow his podcast at the Bill Simmons podcast. And we love all your work at The Ringer. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Listen, it was my pleasure just to see Eddie finally happy.
That's what I do to people.
Tweeting, even if it's a short-term thing. It was really nice. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Bill. Thank you. All right.
Bill Simmons joining us. Listen, man, that was fantastic. I thought you made a lot of good points about the Suns. Some of the same points that we've all talked about. Also a couple comments in the chat saying, is this a Celtics podcast or a Suns podcast? We're actually a basketball podcast. Eddie obviously works for the team, and we talk Suns to start, but we also get into basketball talk, and it's okay if we divert a little bit away from what's happening here in the Valley.
Get somebody on as a guest, like, you got to give them a carrot too.
Yeah.
Okay, for you ones out there that don't get it, like, they don't come, we don't bring them in here and then dominate them and say, you can't talk about anything else. I do different radio shows, I'll do podcasts, and you know what I tell them? Is you got to give me an opportunity to promote what I'm doing and let you know what I like. Like, okay, this is a Phoenix Suns podcast, but what do I talk about in regards to baseball teams on this show? The Cubs. What do I talk about in regards to football teams on this show?
The Bears.
And you're not going to make me not, okay? That's the trade-off. And that's what makes sports great, is that we all have different things that we like, but we can also talk about things that we talk about all the time, which is 90% of the time, the Suns. So if you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you.
Don't tell them to leave. We appreciate everybody hitting that thumbs up button. And as always, we are brought by the good folks at OGs, OGsBrands.com. Go follow them. Find your closest dispensary. Go get yourself a little happy balance, because, listen, if we don't have enough Suns talk for you, maybe you need to balance out your life a little bit and get some happy balance.
Got to get the Hawks tonight. That's all we got to do.
That's exactly right.
Get them taken care of. Then go pay back San Antonio.
Yes.
Well, I wish you were coming to San Antonio.
Why?
I know. We there for 3 days, staying at a nice resort.
I mean,
got one of the top golf courses in the country.
Are you going to go play TPC San Antonio?
No. Don't tell anybody where I'm going. Do you know I got stalkers out there?
I said, are you going to play? I didn't. Okay,
I know, but I say yes, thank you.
Okay. Well, anyway, let me finish up this ad read, Eddie.
But it's a very nice resort, top-notch golf course. You can come on down. I can take your money.
Not the PGA resort.
Look, I said, is anybody talking out in left field? I don't even know who.
Anyway, get yourself a little sativa and some indica at OGsBrands.com. Find your closest dispensary. And remember, you must be over the age of 21 to enjoy. You also must be over 21 to enjoy Four Peaks, the best craft brewery in the state. Go get yourself a little peach ale. Get yourself a little wild wheat, whatever fills your bucket. They have all the great things out there. Kilt Lifter is fantastic. They had a barbecue event that was amazing. They have all the great food over at their pub. You can't go wrong with Four Peaks. So visit them at Four Peaks Brew on social, on Twitter, and on Instagram. And remember, you must be 21 and over to enjoy, and please enjoy responsibly. All right, before we go, I do have a question for you, Eddie, and this is also not basketball related. Were you crying in your pillow when Justin Fields got traded, or are you good with this?
Well, I'm sure Cardinal fans like it, because now it gives them an opportunity to get their hands on Marvin Harrison.
Let's go.
I get it. I love Justin Fields. And it's weird, because as a Bear fan, like, we've had so many quarterbacks, right? But Justin Fields is like, he has a cult following in Chicago. It is really different. And it's really, like, it's great for me as an African-American, because the Bears rarely had an African-American quarterback.
It's the first one they drafted.
Yeah. And so because of that, man, and just to see the love that Chicago fans have for him is just, you know, I just love it, man. And he is going to go do great things. He really is, man. And I just hope Caleb Williams is the guy. I just do, because then I'll feel sorry for him. because so much pressure is going to be put on him.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be judged by whatever Justin Fields eventually will be doing. Now, he's not – Russell Wilson is the starter right now. I'm surmising that it's going to be really quick in the maturation of Justin Fields. And if he takes off in a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform and we're not getting what we supposed to get from Caleb Williams in Chicago, I just don't know as Bear fans if they'll ever live that down. So, no, I wasn't happy about it. I would have rather them kept him. They had great receivers that he never had. They got a very good offensive line now that he never had. Their defense is top-notch. Matter of fact, it was number one, you know, in NFL at what the last eight games of the year. And he didn't have all that. Caleb is going to have it. And that's what disappoints me. I felt they should have kept him. Drafted Marvin Harrison Jr., so you all didn't get him? No, I'm just kidding, I'm just kidding, Cardinal fans.
This is when we take
a
left turn.
But we would have drafted him. And we have the ninth pick, and we're taking somebody else. So, yeah, that kind of bothered me. And then, you know, but that's fine. You know, with my second pick in the second round, all that, I hope they draft Ricky Pearsall out of Florida.
Florida, yeah, former ASU guy.
Telling you, man, that dude, he is going to be a star.
Okay.
And so, but we'll see. Yeah. There you go. I'm a Bear fan, but I like the Cardinals, people. Don't get me wrong.
I just wanted to twist the knife a little bit because I knew you were a Justin Fields guy. So
I just want people to know I'm an NFL guy. See, I'm not just a Suns guy. You know, baseball, football, badminton.
Oh yeah, who's your favorite badminton player?
Jose Garofalo, you ever heard of him?
You just made that name up. The Valley Bros with the 199 Super Chat. OG.
Maybe I had some OG.
OG AJ speaking the truth. Cedric Phillips with a $5 Super Chat. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm concerned with the coaching office. There's something going on with this scheming lineup that's lacking creativity. I mean, we've talked about it at length, especially if you've watched the PHNX Sun show. There's been some inconsistencies across the board, I think, that can rub people the wrong way. I just keep hoping and praying that they have this master plan in place for when they get, you know, closer to the end of the season that they're going to unveil. But I, your eyes are telling you one thing, but I think everybody's hearts are hoping for something different.
Playoffs will be different.
I hope so, Eddie.
No, they will be different.
Listen, man, I can't – you know what I'm tired of? You know what I'm really tired of? I'm tired of my teams disappointing me, okay? And, you know, I say this because today is March Madness, and my beloved
– Fighting Illini!
My beloved Wildcats are always a top-tier team, and we always find a way to top-tier lose in the tournament early.
Illinois does, too. We're both in the same boat.
I need more.
We're both in the same boat. Very talented teams.
I need happiness.
Good teams, right? What, number one seed?
Yeah, but the last time we had a chance to go to the Final Four, you guys made a stupid-ass 15-point comeback with 3 minutes and 30 seconds left to go and ruined my hopes and dreams.
That was the last time you guys got away in the championship game. Our former owner... we were in Orlando and we were playing the Magic that day. And so he came and he sat next to me while I was actually doing the telecast. So I'm going to tell you how versatile EJ is. Okay, so you all understand. I was actually, and it was a very good game against Orlando. So I'm actually calling the game against Orlando.
You have the TV.
Yeah. Steve Albert is the other guy. I think, yeah, Steve Albert's calling the game with me. And the TV is on, the monitor is on Illinois-Arizona game.
Oh, no.
And he's sitting there next to me, okay, Robert Sarver. He's sitting there next to me, and he's watching the game. And they're up a bunch. And he's bothering me doing the telecast. But I'm versatile. I can still call the games and banter back and forth. And all of a sudden, I look over, and the lead's just dissipating.
Oh, yeah.
And it's dissipating.
No, I remember.
And I'm calling the game, and I'm looking at him at the same time. And he's sitting over there with his head down just like this. And after the game was over, he got up and said, bye-bye. Then I went back. I think it was an overtime game, too, the Suns game.
Uh-huh.
And I had to go back and call the game.
Oh, man.
Well, that was one of my best days ever.
Man, I hope he finds you. So that's why I, you know, like, listen, it's just basketball.
I'm stressing too, man. Illinois, if they lose, they're going to lose to a team they shouldn't lose to. I just already know it. I'm not that high on our coach in big game situations. A couple of years ago, we played a bunch of old men from Loyola, and we should have won. We should have gotten to the Final Four that year, a couple of years ago, and we blew it. So I just feel like this year is our year, as you feel like this is Arizona's year.
Yeah.
And I think we're in the same – are we in the same region?
No, we are not.
Okay, good for you.
Yeah, good for you.
It would drive you nuts if we beat you all.
Well, hey, folks, we appreciate you joining us. Also, like, listen, when you're in the chat, you got to be cool, man. You can't be a dick. So, like, don't come in here and attack other people because they have a different perspective than you and start throwing out.
That?
There's just randos in here that are just being, you know, they're just being idiots.
They need attention.
I won't hesitate.
Yeah, you know.
It's on site.
Oh, yeah. We got the ban button ready all the time, at all times. So, like, listen, man, this is a safe space to talk about ball, to talk about basketball, football, whatever. Listen, EJ is going to talk about the things he wanted to talk about because that's why we're doing this podcast. He said, hey, I would love to do a show where I could talk about what I want to talk about. And I'm like, all right, let's do it. So that's why we're here. If you don't like it, you don't have to wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning to watch it. You can go watch something else.
Yeah.
Until next time, 8:30 next week, you can join us and you can follow us at JumpShot8 on Twitter.
Yeah.
You can follow me at Saul_Bookman. You can follow the show at PHNX_Suns. We appreciate Bill Simmons for joining us again. The first ever guest on Outside Shots. And that was a big one. Thanks for getting that, EJ.
Oh, it's going to get better, people. Because EJ's in the house.
until next.
Water boys and couch potatoes. You don't like it.
Until next
time. Bye-bye.